goes off Piet, straight back to Vasquez. This is Michael Bradley. Bradley for Delgado. Space to the right side. Now it's Altidore! And Jozy Altidore opens the scoring after 15 minutes of play. And it's a 20th win of a remarkable season for Toronto FC, their final home game of the regular season.
Is Sportsfeld story time. We are taking you back to the good old days, the mid-teens, the mid-20-teens. We are continuing this epic journey, the hero's journey, Toronto FC, as they march towards the 2017 MLS Cup. When we last spoke, Toronto FC, a scoreless, freezing, frigid, brutal, painful penalty shootout loss to the Seattle Sounders in Toronto. At the 2016 MLS Cup, which Jake and I were both there for. Famously, I do remember this being told, is Toronto FC was extremely motivated by that loss in the MLS Cup.
Yeah, and you could see it even from a lot of the off-season moves that were made. It was clearly one of those, like, you see it a lot in professional sports, the team that almost reaches where they need to be, and then they go, okay, we're just a little bit not yet there. Let's go make some ads. They bring in Clint Irwin in December. They bring in Chris Mavinga in January. They bring in Raheem Edwards, who was promoted to the first team in March. And then the big one, of course, that will make the biggest difference come this year is Victor Vasquez signs from Cruz Azul on February 20th, 2017, who will be a big addition for this team.
I remember at this point, it was enough to be sucked in because they had been so good the year before and they had made that run and it felt like they were a team really on the rise. Vasquez, similar to, of course, getting Giovinco from the, who had played in Juventus. You didn't need anything more than to know that Victor Vasquez was a product of the Barcelona system. FC Barcelona from age 11 is incredible to think that a player like that would go through that you know, youth system and end up in Toronto 12 years later. It was like, holy shit, they had a guy who played for fucking Barcelona on their team.
It was one of those great moves where you have Jozy and Seba as like the big names, the goal scorers, etc. And then you just get the guy that sort of makes it all work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he was.
Yeah, I think it's going to go down as one of the most appreciated and maybe underrated Toronto FC players. Obviously, fans knew him and loved him quite a bit. But that exact observation, you sort of nail it, is you end up with that big four. Is you have, you know, you have Bradley, who is that great link between the midfield and the defense. You know, he turns defensive positions into going the other way. And the year before, it was like he was getting it up and moving it to Giovinco, who would maybe make a miraculous play on his own, or he would set up Jozy on a tee. But you didn't have that in between. You didn't have somebody that made it easier for Bradley to get it to those guys and made it easier for those guys to have a little bit more space. And boy, Vasquez was just a revelation. Like he fit in so perfectly well. Really a smooth, and as I said, I think going to go down as a really underrated guy in the Toronto sports scene. The playmaking ability and the link up with Giovinco and Altidore, really, really cool.
Yeah, and I think it was perfect timing too to, like, as you said, the city. We'll talk about this sort of at the end of this story time in episode 4, but the city was like mad for TFC this year. In a way that they haven't been since. And I truly don't know if they will be again, maybe post-pandemic when everyone's just excited to be back and have sports in general. Maybe we'll see something like this. But like, people were all about TFC the summer of 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they give them plenty of reason to as well, is the honest to goodness truth. an incredible regular season. We're going to get through some of the results and a bit of the journey here in a minute, but just some of the overall numbers. They play 34 games. They go 20 wins, 9 draws, only 5 losses. They end up with a plus 37 goal differential. And at home, especially, they were 13-3-1, just the one loss at home with a plus 30 goal differential at home. So when they played at BMO, first of all, they almost always won, and they scored like nearly 3 goals a game. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah,
they were so good. They won the Supporters' Shield by like 12 points, I think. Just like absolutely smoked the league. You were kind of talking about how Vasquez is sort of an underrated Toronto guy. I think because they're TFC, they don't get talked about in like the best Toronto seasons. This is like one of the most wire-to-wire dominant Toronto sports seasons ever. Like, and really, if we're ranking them in our adult lives, the ones you can pick are the ones that actually won at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like this one, they were, regular season-wise, they were better than the 2019 Raptors. So it's like, we're talking like this in the 93 Jays, I guess.
Crazy.
As like just a crazy team.
It really is pretty incredible. They start out, I mean, they draw for their first 5 matches and then they get a win. They get their first loss in Columbus against the Crew. And then from April 21st to May 13th, it's a 6-game winning streak, not undefeated streak, winning streak. They win 6 straight, 3-1, 2-0, 2-1, 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2 against Minnesota. Then they tie New York and they win again. So they go undefeated through 9 straight, 8 straight. They would lose. They lose 2 of the next 4 and then don't lose again until September. They went like, man, August, they go undefeated in August. They win 6 straight between the end of August and the beginning of September. And then when they basically have things locked up, they tail off a little bit. But just huge winning streaks of 6 games multiple times in this season. Really, really incredible. Like 5-0 wins in here, 4-0 wins in here all the time. As I said, they would average 2.6 goals per game at home. They were just like, from the moment this season started, they were just on an absolute warpath. And I think I remember Michael Bradley mentioning that they basically didn't take an offseason this year because the MLS Cup happened so late in the year and the training season happened so early that they basically went straight to training camp out of that loss and like didn't ever stop working together as a team.
Again, I don't mean to keep previewing, but we'll talk about this when we get to the MLS Cup episode, in that I remember in the lead up to the 2017 MLS Cup, in 2016, the lead up was a lot of like excitement and nervousness. And 2017 was like business.
Yes.
This team was built to win. They were, and that was their only purpose. And they just destroyed everybody. And it was really fun.
It was fun
to root for a team that just beats the crap out of everybody.
Yeah. Some of the numbers, really, really crazy. Giovinco in all categories, in all games, scores 20 goals. He scores 16 in Major League Soccer. Jose scores 15 in the MLS, 18 in all events. And Victor Vasquez, as we mentioned before, talk about an underappreciated year. He scores 10 goals and assists on 20. So like, truly incredible. I mean, Giovinco had 20 goals and 8 assists, but Vasquez really showing, I think, evidence of the impact he made is like how much fewer assists that Giovinco had to get. Is he like, he was able to really focus on being a finisher and being absolutely lethal. I think that ended up really like sort of pointing out is what a crucial playmaker he was for those guys up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And also the emergence of Alex Bono as a full-time goalkeeper that I don't think anyone saw coming, because they went and got Irwin back after losing him in the expansion draft. And he was like, oh, okay, well, they want Clint Irwin to be the guy. Bono ends up taking over. I think he played 34 games in total and was really a big difference maker for the team that whole year.
And 14 clean sheets, to your point. That's a huge season from your keeper when a third of the time no one is scoring on you. That's pretty nice. And like, man, I not to harp back, but those three guys, Jovinko, Altidore, Vasquez, really are just all over these score sheets. It's crazy. Nobody else hits double figures. Moro scores 8 and Ricketts scores 7. But the top three guys between the three of them scoring 48 goals. That's pretty special in a 34 game season. Or 43 if you want to tack on the playoffs in the Canadian Championship. One of those guys scored in every single game, basically, is what you get down to. That's amazing.
You have Justin Morrow, Victor Vasquez, and Jovinko all in the best 11 in the year. Vanny wins coach of the year. Vanny won CONCACAF coach of the year. Just like an utterly disgustingly dominant season from Toronto FC.
It is not just because we love the beautiful game. It is not just the regular season because, again, last month we talked about it. Montreal was the new rival. So not a new rival, but a team that had really gotten up there as a rival. And the win over Montreal in the semifinals was sort of the moment that Toronto FC broke through. They would face off again in the Canadian Championship. The ticket to the Champions League, Toronto would beat the Ottawa Fury 5-2 in aggregate. And then it was two legs against the Montreal Impact in the Canadian Championship.
Yeah, this is sort of when the second leg in Toronto against Montreal was sort of my big, like, oh, the city cares moment. It was a middle of June, end of June, June 27th. You know, 26,000 people showed up to BMO to watch this game. And it was loud. This was one of the loudest BMO games. I think obviously, like, the fun of beating Montreal is one thing, but also I think people were just seeing how good this team was, and it was a team worth jumping on the bandwagon for. And then to have this tournament, to go to the championship game, and then the game itself ends up being absolutely bananas. It had kind of, it was sounding like Stefan, it had everything. It's 1-1 after the first leg. You have TFC going down in the 36th minute.
Jamali bursting forward, Mavinga sliding in, but Jamali picks it back up again into the path of Balu Tabla. What a finish from Balu Tabla! Montreal take the lead at BMO Field.
Jovinko ties it in the 53rd.
Vasquez charged down there by Jamali. And Delgado with a first-time ball through for Michael Bradley. Bradley picks out Sebastian Jovinko. It's Jovinko! It's a fine finish from Sebastian Jovinko to tie it up on the night. Jovinko sets BMO Field alight. And the tie is all square once again. You just can't keep them down for long.
Then the last, like, 9 minutes of this game are amazing. I think in like the 86, Jovinko pretty clearly gets fouled in the box.
It's Jovinko for Altidore. Back to Jovinko. Sebastian Jovinko goes down. No penalty given. Altidore, Vasquez, Bradley crowding the referee. As Montreal come back down the other end at pace here with Dominic Aduro.
From the two front men, Delgado into Jovinko. Lovely little 1-2. Gets it back here. All important touch. Through Fisher's legs, he comes sliding in. I think he takes Jovinko out here through his legs, no question.
And it's getting contentious. The crowd's pissed. It turns into sort of a fight on the field, which leads to a, I would say, probably not fully deserved straight red card to Patrice Bernier from Montreal in the 90th minute.
Once again, Bradley and Altidore crowding around the referee. It is boiling over here at BMO Field. The heated rivalry turned up even further. Toronto FC already incensed about a no call on the penalty.
Put them down to 10 men, and then it could be nobody else but Sebastian Jovinko. In the 95th.
Vasquez with the ball in towards Jozy Altidore. Still Jozy Altidore. The fave sliding in gets
what
it away.
What a tackle.
Very well done by Lefebvre. And now Jovinko picks it up. One last chance for TFC to try and win it in normal time. Vasquez through for Edwards. Edwards pulls it back. Jovinko! Sebastian Jovinko with almost the last kick of the game. Looks like he's won the Canadian Championship for Toronto FC.
And BMO Field absolutely explodes.
BMO Field sent into a frenzy by the little Italian who scores his second of the night. And once again, Toronto Montreal provides incredible drama.
It's one of the like the loudest, other than probably like cup final this year, I think it's the loudest the building that I've heard it was.
Awesome. Jovinko, what a sense of the moment. What an ability to always be the guy in this run. It's wild. He was so good. He was so head and shoulders, like the best player on the field every time he was on the field. It's so cool and so awesome. And something I liked about Giovinco's run here was he was never underappreciated by the Toronto FC fans. Like it was pretty much immediately everyone was like, oh yeah, this guy's unbelievable and we love him. Like it was there was a lot of athletes in the city have to sort of go through that period of like earning their stripes. I feel like the second he arrived, TFC fans were like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah. And I think you just see it more and more every day with every now everyone that every DP that Toronto FC bring in is compared to him.
Right.
And it's who's going to be the next guy to be Jovinko.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, unfair. It's impossible.
Yeah. And that's the thing. The fact of the matter is it probably won't be one.
So Toronto wins the Canadian Championship. They end up with the best regular season record, leading you into the MLS Cup playoffs. And in the distance, a date, a rematch, a chance for revenge, hoping to get all the way back to the MLS Cup final. One last stat for you. The Toronto FC in 2017 played a total of 43 games across the regular season, the playoffs, and the Canadian Championship. They ended up with a plus 44 goal differential. So on average, Toronto FC won every single game by one goal.
I mean, that's pretty close.
That's pretty awesome. Anyway, we will look forward next week. We'll talk about the playoffs and that meeting with the Seattle Sounders, a rematch at BMO Field next time on Sports Felt Storytime.